Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee through the Bible, and we're going from Genesis all the way through Revelation, except we're doing it in chronological order. So it's a really exciting time. We're in probably the most exciting parts of the Bible, Leviticus, and I've shared several times when I was a high school administrator years ago. I taught chapel for 10 years, and so 171 days out of the year. And so one of the deals I did, I went through Leviticus with my high school students. And man, you talk about plowing some mud. It was a tough pull. But I said, you know, you really ought to read it because you kind of get the heart of God, what it was he wanted, why he wanted it, why he did what he did. And so it's got a lot of good stuff in it. So we're going to jump in today. We're picking in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 16, where we left off. So they said, well, why would you read this? Well, God chose to put it in his word. So if he chose to put it there, probably good to read it, you know. And I had a lot of people when I was first saying, well, the Old Testament, that's old, that's done away with. We're just going to read the new. No, you need the old because it's still legitimate. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so you need to know what the law was he came to fulfill because you need to know he did his job. And so it's a fascinating read. So anyhow, Leviticus chapter 4, jumping around verse 16, said the priest will bring some of the blood into the tabernacle, dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the inner curtain. He would then put some of the blood on the horns, the incense altar and the stands in the Lord's presence of the tabernacle. The rest of the blood he poured out the base of the altar, the burnt offerings from the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest must remove all the animal fat and burn it on the altar. Following the same procedure with the sin offering, the priest in this way will make atonement for the people and they will be forgiven. Now, there's a lot of wording here, but the whole reason, what are you doing is, I'm trying to make atonement from the people so they're forgiven of their sins. How do we get forgiven of our sins? Well, you're going to sacrifice this animal just exactly like I told you to do it, because Israel was a rebellious people for years. Just, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and when I get ready, and, you know, it, I, me, and I. God says, no, you're going to do it my way, and there's no other option. There's not door one, door two, and door three. There's my way, or the old saying, my way or the highway. So God had a way of doing it. He wanted it done exactly like he said. Now, when we get to the new covenant, that's what makes it incredible. But you have to understand the old to appreciate the new. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple was torn top to bottom. The veil that protected the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the secret place, only the priest could go in. Then he went in with a rope tied around his ankle in case he went in with sin. If he died, they could pull him back out. I mean, it was a real detailed thing. But the day Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in that temple that kept the Ark of the Covenant hidden was tore top to bottom. Now, what does that mean? There's no more bull, no more goat, no more sheep, no more turtle dove, no more sacrifice. Jesus' blood bought our salvation once and for all, a one-time deal. So it's not in our taking our bulls or goats down to the tabernacle, you know, once a week. It's our faith in what Jesus did for us. And the Bible says, you know, the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Every day we get to repent and forgive. We're still growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still growing in the things of God. And so I tell them, well, if you got to keep the Ten Commandments, I said, well, you know, it messes with people. When I taught my high school kids, said nobody has ever kept the Ten Commandments. No person except Jesus ever kept the Ten Commandments. Now, there are 613 laws. That was just 10 of them. That was 10 of the 613 laws. And if you couldn't keep those 10, you're probably not keeping the others either. And that's why that blood bound that tabernacle, you know, 7 days a week. Why? Now, we're cutting the throats of everything. We can't keep from sinning. And that's the reason God set up the tabernacle the way he did. He wanted them to know, you cannot stop sinning. You have a sin nature. You got it from your great-great-grandfather Adam. It's been passed down every generation. And so what happened was God sent his son to earth as a human, born as a human, virgin birth. That's why you have the virgin birth. He grew up. For 30 years, he's running his dad's carpenter shop. He owns the local Home Depot. So Jesus is just a normal kid. He didn't walk on water. He didn't raise any dead goldfish. He's just a normal. He's a guy that owns a local Home Depot. You need furniture? Go see Jesus' family. They'll make it. You need a boat mast? Go see Jesus' family. They'll build it for you. That's who he was until one day the brothers come into the home to marry. Now, you have to understand. I'm going to stop just a minute. You have to understand. They heard the rumors about the virgin birth. Now, nobody believed in the virgin birth. There'd never been a virgin birth. Well, we need a virgin birth. Well, God needed to come to this planet as a human. And so the sin nature is passed down through the man. And so from one generation to the other generation, next generation. And so it had to be a virgin birth. No male. Virgin birth. God and that woman had a baby. And the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you know, you're highly exalted, highly favored, old Mary. And said, you're going to have a child. He's going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to be the Son of the Living God. And all she said was, well, be it unto me according to your word. Well, whatever you say, it'll be fine with me. So she gets pregnant without ever having slept with a man. And she's got this baby in the womb. And so she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And the Bible says, when Mary met Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, which was John the Baptist, who hadn't been born yet, and Jesus in Mary's womb, both leaped with joy when they got close to one another. Now, there are babies in the mother's womb, but they both, when they sensed we were close, they leapt for joy, the Bible says, in their mother's womb. There's so much scripture that's just amazing. Like, this was not an accident. This was not just a happenstance. This was God coming to earth as a human. He'd be born. Why? Because he was born to die. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, had the devil known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the devil known it. Why? Because it cooked his goose. Because the devil's been trying to kill God ever since the Garden of Eden. When God told him, you know, one day, you know, you just stole all this from Adam and Eve. Adam got fired from the job, evicted from the house. Kids started killing one another. It went south. Satan became the temporary legal God of this planet. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan became the legal God of this planet. Why? Well, Adam had been the legal God of this planet. He ruled over everything on this planet. Name the animals, you know, take dominion, subdue, be Lord over planet Earth. God said, I'll be Lord over the universe. I give you this planet to be Lord over. But when he sinned, he turned that responsibility over to the devil, and Satan became the Lord of this planet. John 10:10 says he steals, he kills, he destroys. What's going on? The devil's in charge. And I tell people, my family, because I'm the only preacher in my family, why are hospitals full? Why are the orphanages full? Why are there wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes? Because Satan is in charge of this planet, and he hates everybody the same. He hates newborn babies. He hates old grandmothers, grandfathers. He hates he's an equal opportunity hater, and he's a murderer. He kills, he steals, he destroys. So you got to kind of get the big picture set up. Where are we going? Well, God had to set up the law because you need my son, but you don't know you need my son. So we're going to give several generations of law that, you know, man, I can't go 30 minutes out of the tabernacle without sinning. And I'm going to have to drag another bull down there next week and another goat, another turtle dove. I'm going broke trying to cover my sin. And that's what God was trying to let them know. Your sin has death attached to it. All sin has death attached to it. It's going to kill you eventually. All sin has death attached to it. What do you need? I need the blood of Jesus. See, now in the New Testament, the Bible says that I, just means Joe, I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. Where do you run? I can run right into God's presence. I can run to the throne of grace to get mercy and help. Now, what's mercy? Something I don't deserve, I've not earned, I don't have it coming, but God will give it. That's why I'm blind Bartimaeus when Jesus was coming down the road that day. You heard all the racket. He's been blind from birth. He's not been seen. You heard all the racket. He said, what's all that noise? He said, well, that healing rabbi is coming. He said, what? Yeah, that healing rabbi is coming. So blind Bartimaeus begins to yell, mercy, mercy, son of David, have mercy. And the Bible says Jesus stopped in his tracks. Well, the disciples said, well, Lord, don't pay attention to him. He's just crazy old blind man. And Jesus said, no, no. And he went over to him and he said, what can I do for you, blind man? And Peter's trying to help him out, but Lord, he needs some eyeballs. And that's Jesus. I'm not talking to you, Peter. I'm talking to the blind man. Blind man, what can I do for you, Lord, that I might receive my sight? And he got brand new eyeballs. He'd been blind from birth, but has a brand new set of eyeballs. Can you imagine the excitement and the astonishment of all the people that had known him all their life, begging on the street corner? And, you know, so they drag him down to the Sanhedrin later on that day, and they grill old blind Bartimaeus. And here's what they ask him. Do you believe this guy's the Son of God? He says, what? Do you believe this guy, do you believe he's the Son of God? He says, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. That's all I know. He didn't become an evangelist. He just got his eyeballs back. And so when Jesus came to earth, it turned everything around. When he died on the cross, the veil in the temple is tore top to bottom. 3 days later, he comes out of the grave, goes to his father, puts the blood on the mercy seat, tells his mom, Mom, you need to go to that upper room and wait. I'm going to take my blood to the mercy seat of heaven, and I'll send the Holy Spirit back. And the Holy Spirit, because I'm now in a human body, I can only be one place at one time. I'm limited, but I'll go to the Father and I'll pray for you. But when I get home, I'll send the Holy Spirit back. He'll do the exact same thing I've done. He'll help everybody. He'll lead everybody. He'll guide everybody. He'll minister to everybody, but he can be everywhere all the time. And so it's a fascinating, incredible revelation that God's given us. So it comes in a book called the Bible. So, you know, I got my old paperback. I wore some of these ancient sheets wore out. I love this New Living Translation. I still study the King James. I just don't speak King James. And so what you have to do, you have to get and realize something. God's going somewhere. So we're in Leviticus, and I still haven't read the first, just one verse today. But you need to understand where God's going with it. He's taking them through the law to let them know that they can't keep the law. I'm going to give you the law to show you can't keep the law. God said, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments to show you that you can't keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to give you 613 laws to show you you can't keep the 613 laws. And eventually my son will come to earth and they're going to crucify him and beat the dog out of him, put him on a cross, and he's going to die for you. He's going to go to hell for 3 days, going to come out of the grave, going to go to heaven, take his blood on the mercy seat, and send the Holy Spirit back to do everything he did, but he can do it everywhere all the time. So that's an essence of the gospel right there in a nutshell. So tune in next time. We'll pick up a lot more scripture next time when we come back to Leviticus. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.